Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Oh, good morning, everybody, or afternoon, depending on when you're actually listening to this. It is time for the Four Corners Podcast. We are talking some sports here today. Patrick is out today, but I brought in the heavy hitter for all of our endeavors here today. The one and only, the grand poobah, the myth, the man, the legend of everything Chair Shot Radio related, the one and only PC Tunney. Tunney, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing great, Dave. I hit the driving range for the second time now to start the year today, and I don't feel as sore as I did last week coming off of that, where those muscles right on the side, you know, from your rib bottoms to your hips. Wow, that was bad last week, Monday, Tuesday, but I felt really good today. So I'm doing good. Thanks for having me again. Always love to be here. Four Corners Podcast.
Yeah, I got in a little bit of golf this week as well. Got out to one of the three local courses that I like to frequent, played okay, pretty well. Driving was better. I know what you're talking about, the pain in the side. Like, it's not even the intercostals. It's more like the obliques and leading into the intercostals in the hip area. It has something to do with us being youth challenged, I think, is what the situation is.
You know, the funny thing is I don't really do a lot in the winter anymore. I used to play a lot of basketball. I'm not a workout guy. So you take a break of, you know, in my case, it was almost 6 months I hadn't played golf, because I really didn't play in November last year, when you kind of can around here. And I'm not a simulator guy, but it's just not using those muscles. But I feel good today. I hit a few good shots, and should be interesting heading out Saturday. So,
oh, good luck, man. I'll be pulling for you. We're doing a tournament up in Madera on Friday for work, and it's going to be 94 degrees in Madera on Friday. I'm like, God damn it. We're already starting this shit already, but it's a Central Valley.
It was 56 with a 14 mile an hour wind in my face at the range today. Nice. So I think 94 would have been better.
Yeah. You get a little bit looser in 94 degree weather. We'll put it that way.
Ball goes a little bit farther when it's 35 degrees warmer,
yes,
too.
It does. There's less of that downward resistance. on the Four Corners Podcast today, Tunney's here. We're going to talk real simple stuff, NHL and NBA playoffs, because that's what's going on. We've got two more game sevens in the first round on both sides of the fence to talk about. Most of the second round matchups are set. We can kind of speculate about that a little bit. We're going to start talking NHL, and then we'll take a commercial break and come back and talk NBA. But Tunney and I, before we got on, we're talking about, I don't know, in Denver, they're going to call it the collapse, I think, is what you'll probably get. Game 7, Colorado-Dallas last night. We're recording this on Sunday morning for those of you who care. But last night, we had Game 7, Dallas-Colorado, 13 minutes to go in the game. It's looking really good for Colorado. My buddy, he's a Colorado Avalanche fan. He's over in Vegas at the Post Malone Jelly Roll concert. And I was texting him. I was like, it's looking really good for Colorado. Texted Patrick. I was like, looking really good for Colorado right now. And then everything changed. And my Lord, it's depending on your perspective, it's either a horrendous collapse or just one hell of a comeback by the Dallas Stars.
I don't watch a ton of hockey. I do follow it, though, right? Like, during the season, I know who's doing well. I'm not very well up on the players, though. But when it comes to the playoffs, I try to tune in, especially end of games. And I caught the last 5.5 minutes of that game last night. And, you know, some of the goals on both sides were kind of fluky. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the game-tying goal, for sure. Mikko Rantanen on a wraparound that deflects in off a defender's skate.
Right.
And then
his other goal was off the post, off the goalie's back. Right. And you know, Dallas gave up a goal like that too. I think that was kind of off of like a weird bounce or something, but boy, whoever gave Mikko Rantanen a Red Bull in the third period to go out there and get three goals and have that. I think he had the past two Deschene that was to Johnston. That was the game winner.
He gets a hat trick and an assist, a 4-point period when Dallas needed it, absolutely had to have it. Mikko Rantanen, it sets up Wyatt Johnston for the goal. Go ahead, Tony.
It has only happened twice before a player's had 4 points in the last period of game seven. And this is Rantanen's second time doing it.
And he did it to his former team, which, you know, I mean, and it makes you wonder, boy, Colorado really just shit the bed letting him go. And then Carolina, you guys only kept him for a month and a half, let him go to Dallas. So we'll see if that comes back to bite you. I hope it comes back to bite you in the ass, because we'll talk about my team's second round series in a moment. But, the penalty that got called that leads to Dallas's winning goal. And you could hear the guys talking about it when it happened. Like, you know, people are, they're so used to referees just putting their whistle away late in the third period of a game seven, in that sort of situation. But here's the thing. When you grab a guy and drag him to the ice right in front of the ref, it's kind of hard just to like, nope, not going to call that. And that's really what happened, is that who was it? Avery, I think, like you were saying, grabs
it was Avery.
One of the Dallas players, drags him to the ice. I mean, like a full on football tackle in front of the refs. They're going to call that. Even if it was overtime, that's probably going to get called. And Dallas made him fucking pay. I mean, and it was a really well constructed power play, crisp passing, just this beautiful shot pass across the crease to Johnston, who puts it home. Colorado, man, they did everything they could to tie that game up in the last minute, man. They had, they had some good looks. Dallas, I thought, did a really good job of not letting anybody, like if you watch power plays and you see these teams, they kind of creep in a little bit closer, get closer to the goal each, 10 seconds or something. So you get a better slap shot. And Dallas really did a good job of keeping Colorado distant, so they couldn't do that. Ottinger made some big saves down the stretch. Dallas advances. It was a great series.
Couple big glove saves at the end. Like that last glove save, when you get that secondary angle after the play from behind the goalie, you can see how close that was to almost being like sight blocked. You know, he had to make the move, and if he didn't see it, that was going in.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and it was just, you knew, like, there's certain series you look at going in and you say, this is probably going to go seven. I think this was the one that I looked at most. These two teams are just so evenly matched. It was a great series. It's a heartbreaking loss for Colorado. Peter DeBoer, the Dallas Stars coach, 9-0 in game sevens, which is interesting because we're going to talk about Tyronn Lue on the other side of the break, who, not that good, but he was 4-0 in game sevens until at least Denver got one of their teams to come through in a big way last night. So we've got one other game seven happening, and we have to talk about it because it is a biggie. It is Patrick's St. Louis Blues going into Winnipeg for game seven against the Winnipeg Jets. And I've been texting with Pat about this, and he's, I don't know. He's, basically, he says, time to nut up or shut up is what he said. And I've been telling him for the last few games, I said, this one's going seven. And that's not to make me sound like I'm great, because I buried my Capitals along the way as well. And we saw how that turned out. But with the Blues, I think they've got this, Tony. I think that the Blues have got the Jets have that President's Trophy curse. I told Pat, I was like, if they can get that first goal, which I think is going to be hugely important, take that insane crowd, that whiteout crowd out of Winnipeg, get on top of them. Get that doubt into Connor Hellebuyck, who had a tremendous season for the Winnipeg Jets as goalie, has looked hugely mortal in this series. I mean, not good. And he's going to have to come up big because the Blues look like they've got him pretty well figured out. And we already know on St. Louis's side, Jordan Binnington, we know what he's like in big games. It doesn't get any bigger than this. I'm going to go right now on the record. I think the Blues take this thing. I think they get that. I think they figure out a way to beat Winnipeg in Winnipeg, and they move on.
I think the key is someone you mentioned, and it's Hellebuyck. Which one are we going to see? Are we going to see the guy that led the regular season in save percentage and goals against average? Or are we going to see the guy that's given up nearly 4.5 goals a game in 6 games in this series against the Blues? So,
and there's some softies he's given up. Some of these shots that he's given up are like that should not go in.
It's not like, hey, it's a breakaway with a talented guy, or, it's a great pass and you just don't have time to react to an amazing one timer. It's none of that, or a weird hop off of some slushed ice. But he's just like you said, it's which one is it going to be to me?
Yeah. And your reward for winning that game is you get the Dallas Stars, which probably isn't that much of a reward.
Look at it this way. At the very least, whoever wins this game is going to go, well, Dallas may have an extra day of rest, but they're also coming off of seven games.
That's right. That's right. And then, you know, kind of looking ahead on the other second round matchups, you've got Winnipeg and Vegas again. Edmonton and Vegas again. Edmonton eliminated the LA Kings for the fourth year in a row, or is it the fifth year in a row? Kings fans will tell you it's 5 years in a row. I'm not sure if it's four or five. It doesn't matter. The Kings blew this series. They had a 2-0 lead. They had some leads in some other games out there, and they just couldn't hold it. That one game where they gave up the tying goal in the last like 29 seconds left, they would have been up 3-1 going home. Edmonton, you know, some teams have your number. Edmonton, I mean, the Kings are Edmonton's bitch in every way possible. They look great. I mean, I don't know how they'll fare going beyond or even against Vegas, because Vegas is awfully good as well. And Vegas really buckled down. You know, they had to get two overtime wins, and then they put Minnesota away on the road to advance. So that that Vegas Edmonton series is going to be really, really good, I think.
Yeah, it Vegas has got the sports betting books. Vegas has Vegas favored in the series -130. But I'm looking at like the percentage of public bet. 92% of the public bet is on Edmonton here on the underdog. You know, and a lot of the betting public, they know Connor McDavid, right? And a lot of them are just drawn to the favorites and things of that nature, especially like special players like that. But I don't know, the Golden Knights, maybe possibly the, how long have they been in existence?
2018 was their first season, because they got to the Cup in their first season against the Caps.
If they could win another title before they enter their 11th season in the NHL, it's probably the greatest first decade in major four expansion history, considering when the teams in the leagues have grown enough, not like early, but right. You know, it's, and they were set up so well that they changed the rules of how they were setting up franchise rosters as well, because the league kind of got screwed over there.
Right. I mean, the Kraken came in and they had success. Let's keep it real. The Kraken got to the playoffs, upset the Avalanche when they were the defending champions. But yeah, I mean, they haven't had the success of Vegas. That series is all about goaltending. If Aiden Hill stands up to that McDavid, Draisaitl, all that firepower that Edmonton can throw, yeah, Vegas wins this thing, because I think they've got a distinct edge in net over Edmonton. And, you know, I mean, that's Darcy Kuemper couldn't keep Edmonton off the board when he needed to. So on the eastern side of things, sorry, Tony, the Florida Panthers, they kind of made your Tampa Bay Lightning look very mortal. I did not think that it would go that smoothly for the Panthers, because they've struggled a bit during the regular season, but the champs reminded us all, we're the defending champs for a reason. Bobrovsky looked tremendous. All the big players, Verhaeghe, Sam Bennett, all those guys contributed. Now you got Brad Marchand, who's just a pain in the ass and will get under your skin. That one game where both teams scored like 2 goals in 11 seconds, both sides, is remarkable. But
I jinxed the shit out of that, because I put that up 2-11 and I'm like, oh, cool. And then I changed the channel and missed the rest of the game. And I'm like, oh, well, you just fueled the fire for, I think it was 4 goals in 8 minutes after that. So, yeah, fun.
We talked about Hallebuck looking very human. Vasilevsky looked very human in that series. And he's not usually that giving.
It's really weird, because a lot of the really good players are still on that team from when they were going to 3 consecutive Stanley Cups, winning the first two, but they're just not, they're not filled in. The holes aren't filled in. The picture isn't completely painted the way it was back then. And it's almost like Florida kept their hockey greatness. You know, Tampa kind of started it, and the Panthers, like, as soon as Tampa started to decline after that year losing in the Stanley Cup, the Panthers have just picked it right up. And like you said, you know, Florida is this hotbed in the NHL now. 3 Stanley Cups in, what, the last 6 years or so?
Yeah. Not having Steven Stamkos may have hurt the Lightning a little in that series.
Well, because I would imagine,
that leadership and that experience and just that sort of thing may have, I would say that had a negative impact on that. But meanwhile, they're going to play the Toronto Maple Leafs. We saw this series last year. Toronto really dabbled with shitting the bed against Ottawa in that series.
They did.
You know, and they finally put him away in game six. Because if that goes to a seventh game back in Toronto, oh my God, those people are going to be beside themselves. I don't see any, and I say this every year, can Toronto beat Florida? Sure, they've got the talent to do that. I don't see that happening. I just don't see the Maple Leafs being able to hang with the champs, who are as seasoned as they get and can make you look pretty stupid at times with just the way that they accentuate board play and all that kind of stuff. So right now I'm looking at, yeah, Florida probably in like six in that series would be my best estimate.
I don't know. I disagree. You know, Toronto's been the second best team in the Eastern Conference all year. They got home ice in this series. Maybe the curse has been lifted, them taking care of business, you know, not having to go to a game seven, right? So let's see what happens. Like you said, though, I agree. No easy task. This could be one of the best. We've already had a great hockey playoffs to start. The first round's been excellent. Obviously, two series going to a game seven, but this could be one of the better series in the second round.
Yeah, and I'll go on record as saying I think Vegas takes Edmonton in seven. That's going to be my pick at this point in time. But the last series...
I got to make my picks too. I'm taking Edmonton and I'm taking Toronto. I'll take Dallas against whoever wins.
Yeah, I mean, after what Dallas just went through and the character that they showed, you know, I want to see what St. Louis, if the Blues win, I think that then I got to really think about that series. If the Blues win, for Patrick's sake, I'll take St. Louis to beat the Dallas Stars.
I think we just got great matchups no matter what here. So, all right, cool. That's nothing else to talk about here. I guess we should take that commercial break. Hey, Dave.
Wait a sec.
I tried, Pat.
Yeah, the only other series we have not discussed involves my guys. The best team. The Great Eight. The best team in the East. The Washington Capitals, who... I don't know if you watched the Caps-Canadian series, Tony, but I was really feeling not good after Game 3. And probably three-quarters of the way through Game 4 wasn't looking good. And I don't think I've seen a series shift as dramatically as this one did based on a hit. And when Tom Wilson lays out Carlisle, oh my God, the entire series shifted because the Caps tied the score a few minutes later, not even a few minutes, like the same shift, I think. Mangiapane scores the game-winning goal. They go back home for Game 5, and they really played a Capitals style of game and shut Montreal down. And they didn't give Montreal a lot. Montreal played their ass off. Young team, you're going to hear about them for a long time. They're really good. But the Caps, they have not looked like this. And I think part of it was because of the great chase. But, you know, you'd say that, but Ovechkin had four goals in this series. If he's going to do that, who the Caps play is going to have some problems. They got Protas back. Logan Thompson looked phenomenal. The task coming up now will be significantly harder because the Carolina this will be a war. I mean, you know, we saw the last time these guys played in Carolina, it was just fight night. I mean, there's just fights everywhere. The rematch in Washington was a little bit more controlled with the exception of like one fight. These are two teams with a lot of history, two teams that do not like each other. I expect this is going to be a hell of a series. Carolina will not have the open ice that they had against the New Jersey Devils. The Caps have more defensemen who are healthy than New Jersey, who went through like 10 of them. I think it's a hell of a series. I'll be a homer on this one and give it to the Caps. And yeah, we'll say six just because I don't want it to go to a game seven. But yeah, don't get me wrong. Carolina is a hell of a team. They just re-signed Freddie Anderson, their goalie, who missed like the last couple of games with an injury. They've got weapons all up and down the lineup. They can throw four lines at you. I don't think they're as physically imposing as the Caps are, but from a sheer firepower standpoint, yeah, they can outscore them. It's probably going to come down to goaltending on that one as well. But what do you think about this one, Tony? I know you wanted to avoid the subject, but I'm not going to let you.
No. I'm just having some fun. I think that it's one of the other elite defenses in the NHL, Carolina. You know, they rely heavily on Chatfield and guys on the defense. You know, you talk about they can score. Jarvis and Aho are really good. But I think the key is the fact that Washington has more scoring capability than Carolina. And we've seen that throughout the season as well. It's the reason why Washington, you know, 55 goal differential throughout the season is 20 some more than Carolina. And it's because of that offensive firepower. I would love to see nothing more than the Washington Capitals go ahead and win the Stanley Cup. And in the same season in which Alex Ovechkin passes Wayne Gretzky, he wins another cup and retires. That would be just storybook. That'd be like the John Elway of the NHL, right? I have a sneaking suspicion Carolina might win this series, though. Their defense is playing on another level if they continue what they did in the first round. And you talk about the goaltending as well. I mean, Anderson has only given up 1 point, barely 1.5 goals a game.
But he didn't play the last two games, so that helps that stat a little. Yeah, I think the Caps have to get physical with these guys. They can physically wear them down like they did to Montreal and slow those guys down. Not a lot of secrets with these two teams, so it'll be a war. It'll be a real war, and we'll see what happens. So now it's time for our first and only commercial break, Tony. We're going to take our only commercial break here. Tony's going to tell you about where to get your hands on some of that cool chair shot merch. When we come back, we're going to talk about the NBA final, or not the NBA finals, the NBA playoffs. We got another game 7 there that I didn't think we were going to get to, but here we are. So Tony, where can people get their hands on all that cool chair shot merch?
Yeah, open up your browser and head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Check it out. Plenty of cool t-shirt designs. You walk into a room, you're going to get noticed right away. Like I said, you can get it in soft style. Feels good on your giblets, as Patrick O'Dowd would say. Spend a couple extra bucks right there. And as of now, you can also get them in long sleeve, cut off, or a hoodie. That's prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. It makes a great gift for the wrestling fan in your life.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
All right, guys, welcome back into the Four Corners podcast. We're going to move on and talk about the other sport having some pretty damn good playoffs right now. The NBA playoffs have been going on, and we have, as of recording this morning, one first round series still remaining. And I, you know, and I'll be, you know, it's kind of like the rules are reversed, Tony. I know you watch more of the NBA playoffs than I do. I mean, I still pay attention and watch it. It's like me talking NHL, you talking NBA. Houston and Golden State, Ray Hash has got to be thrilled about. So I did not expect Houston to be able to go into Golden State and get the win that they did to force us back to Houston for a game 7. That being said, you know, you've got the Houston Rockets have kind of come out of nowhere this year and been like, you know, because Houston was a horrible franchise for the past few. It gives me hope as a Wizards fan that maybe there's a light at the end of the tunnel that's not the train coming the other direction. But yeah, Houston kind of came out of nowhere. You see these young teams. Houston came up this year. Detroit really made a big leap forward this year. And yeah, I know the Knicks beat them, but that was a really good series. Detroit's future is really, really bright. But what do you think about this series? I mean, you got all that experience with Golden State. You got Steph. You got Jimmy Butler's over there. You got Draymond Green. Some of the young guns out there. They really seem to have this series under control, and now they don't. Now they go to Houston. How do you see this 7th game going down?
That's a great question. I want to start by giving props to the Houston Rockets organization, because you're in a place where you would love to be able to follow what they just did. Now, granted, they hit some home runs on some young guys, Alperen Şengün, Amen Thompson, Jalen Green. That's like grand slam, grand slam, grand slam. Like if any team's going to get good, if you can draft 3 really good players that progress like they have in their first couple, 3 years that some of them have been there. And then you hit on spending money in free agency with Fred VanVleet, a guy that can come in and control this team and be the backbone, be the guy they can rely on to give these young guys confidence to know that no matter what happens, Fred's still going to come out there. And that's what happened 29-8-8 in that game 6 on the road, right? who was the best player on the court? It wasn't Steph Curry that night. It was Fred VanVleet. So you got guys like that. Dylan Brooks is, though he's kind of a controversial figure, he's a guy that I'm sure once he's on your team, you're like, I'm glad he's on my team and not the other team. He's kind of a bulldog. He's kind of that dog, right? He's kind of that PJ Tucker the Bucks had when they won the championship. This series could already be over if Jimmy Butler didn't get hurt, maybe, right? We'll see. We'll see. Can Steph shoot the ball well on the road? That's going to be the difference maker. If I am Houston, I'm doing everything in my power to get Draymond Green to explode early on in this game. I like the Rockets, even though I picked the Warriors to make it to the finals before the whole playoffs started.
I hear what you're saying, and I love what Houston's done. And like I said, as a Wizards fan, it does give me hope, because like you're saying, you draft well, you pick a couple free. The Wizards win the lottery and get Cooper Flagg this year. It's like, okay, now we've got some pieces to work with.
There's a few guys at the top that could be franchise changers if they stay healthy and progress as projected at the top of this draft. It's a good draft.
It is, unlike last year, which was mediocre at best. But to get to your point, these young teams with all this energy and this enthusiasm, and a lot of them are in this whole, we don't know, we're not supposed to be here mode. Houston's kind of there right now. And I'm going to go with Golden State in game 7, just based off experience, pedigree. And if it's close, Houston's got to put them away and probably put them away pretty early, a la the other game 7 we're about to talk about, that sort of situation. I think that's essential for Houston to jump on these guys, jump on them as quickly as you can and keep them down as much as you can. Because if it's close, Steph's going to get you and Jimmy's going to get you.
And before we move on to what I think you want to talk about happened on Saturday night, just know, everybody, the winner of this game, I know you're listening Tuesday, we recorded Sunday, but the winner of that Rockets-Warriors game is going to get the Ant-Man and the Minnesota Timberwolves, who took out LeBron James and the Lakers. I just want to ask you real quick, what's LeBron's future? I thought he turned down like the option or something, or I'm not sure.
You know, being out here in California, obviously we have a lot of Lakers fans around here who suffice it to say, we're very disappointed. You know, when you make this trade for Luka Doncic and let's be real, Minnesota really worked them in those 5 games. I mean, there were some close ish games, but really Minnesota was in control of most of that series. I felt, I mean, LA had a couple of places where they just kind of flamed out down the end, but Minnesota is do not sleep on them. When you take a team like the Lakers, when you've got two guys of LeBron James and Doncic's caliber and you just beat them, and beat them up pretty bad like they did, I don't know if I'd want to play Minnesota next. I mean, if we get Minnesota Houston, oh man, that's going to be one hell of a series. It really will be. But go ahead, Tony.
Minnesota went to the conference finals last year, right? They're the ones that lost to Dallas. Anthony Edwards is the next best player in the NBA. Once Anthony Edwards figures out how to win games without putting the ball in the basket and doing all the other hard things the greats have done, watch out.
Yeah, to get back to your original question, what's next for LeBron? I don't know, man. He's at that point where he can walk away and you know, people are going to say he's the greatest of all time. I again point you to he's not. Point to his record and look at compare him to Jordan, and you can't, or Kobe. I don't really think you can compare him to Kobe either, but that's just me.
I think there's Jordan, and then if you want to kind of stick with modern NBA, it's Kobe, LeBron, Bird, Magic, and Kareem. There's like 5 guys all together that are just like, you can make an argument for any of them to be the greatest player of all time, but unfortunately there's a guy named Michael Jordan. Those 5 guys behind him, they're like, if Larry Bird pays somebody to put in his mom's driveway instead of doing it himself and hurting his back and being the reason he can't play basketball into his 30s, the Celtics might have won 8 with Larry Bird.
Yeah, they might have. But yeah, whoever Minnesota gets next, that should be a really excellent series. Look, don't get me wrong, I'm pulling for Houston because, yes, I live in California. That does not mean I root for California teams. Tony knows this very well. And I'm kind of like, enough Golden State. Give these young guys, the Houston Rockets, who haven't done anything in a decade, let them run with this thing. I'm pulling for Houston, even if I don't think it'll happen. We had a game 7 last night. It was not close. The LA Clippers, you know, death, taxes, and the Clippers losing when the chips are on the table. It's like that's a certainty. We mentioned talking about Peter DeBoer earlier. Tyronn Lue, the coach of the Clippers, right?
He was 4-0.
He was 4-0, undefeated going into game sevens. And the Clippers started off kind of okay, and then things really unraveled. Didn't they get outscored by 15 points in consecutive quarters or something? And then, you know, by the end, you were down by 30. Oh, you got it to within 19. Congratulations for making it look closer than it was. Denver's too good. And the Clippers have a hell of a team, but you would never have known it from watching that game yesterday. I mean, it was Denver. And people forget Denver's only a year removed. Well, I mean, they won champions 2 years ago. You know, they got emphatic, didn't they? Lose to Minnesota in game seven last year in shocking fashion. This is still a championship caliber team.
The problem is Norman Powell and James Harden take a collective 19 shots. What the fuck is that? Those are your two best players all year in the biggest. I don't care if Kawhi is back and healthy or not. Right. And top of that, add in 1 of 7 from three for those two guys. They basically dis a fucking peered in the biggest game of the season.
But that's the
that's
Clippers.
My biggest takeaway
that's
from last
Clippers,
night.
Right. I mean, the biggest players shrink every time. And like the Clippers are a team I actually like, you know, because it's like I feel bad for these guys. You guys have never done it. You got away from crypto.com. Now you're playing at the Intuit Dome. So you've actually got your own space. You're not, you know, beholden to the Lakers. And it just didn't matter. So. There you go.
What do you think about the Nuggets' chances against the Thunder?
Very good. Extremely good. I
really?
I do. And I think Oklahoma City has been fantastic all year. And I really thought, you know, but, you know, I talking to Ray Cash and Ray's just like, you know, Oklahoma City is so young and they're not really seasoned. And let's be honest, Memphis did not push Oklahoma City at all. That was the most lopsided series possibly in NBA history. When you take the margin of victory over four games, I mean, Memphis had one game won. They couldn't close it out. I think it was like game three or something like that. Yeah, I mean, I look at Oklahoma City and I say, this is a young team with an immense amount of talent. How are they going to do against a veteran team like the Denver Nuggets who just know how to win? And when Oklahoma City, unlike against Memphis, they're going to be faced with adversity in that series. How does this young Thunder team respond to that? And I think Denver's got a great shot at beating them. You don't think Denver's got a shot at beating them?
Oh, I definitely do. Anytime you got Jokic and the guys that are still there, Jamal Gordon, Murray, you add in a guy like Christian Brown this year. It's been one of my there's two guys that have been awesome this year that you've probably never heard of. One's Christian Brown on Denver and the other one's Dyson Daniels in Atlanta. These are just two shooting guards that are long and play defense and they can kind of score and they're just out there and they're fucking annoying. It's like when you go to open gym and you know all the guys who are going to be there and you're like, there's like maybe one or two guys you just don't want to guard you. I never felt that way. But I just think the Thunder, I think it's their time. I did say that I thought it was going to be the Nuggets or the Warriors. I don't know. The Thunder are healthy. Holmgren's been healthy. Isaiah Hartenstein is really a big unsung part of this team. It helps them be big, especially when you got like Jalen Williams and Dort. And obviously, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is likely going to be the MVP. And think about it. We talked about the Clippers. What a transition. The worst trade fucking ever. All the draft picks and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander they got from the Clippers for Paul George. Ridiculous.
Wow. What a boneheaded decision. But again, Clippers.
James Harden.
Just Clippers, you know?
James Harden is also the only player in NBA history to lose a Game 7 with four different teams.
That takes talent.
The Rockets, the Sixers, the Nets, and now the Clippers.
That takes, and you look at the teams that he's played on, and you start to wonder, is it you? Because if you can't get if you can't win a game seven with Kevin Durant, or you can't win a game seven with Joel Embiid, or Kawhi Leonard, or any, or who was the first team that he was with? The Rockets, you said?
It was all him that yeah, on the yeah, Rockets. That was his MVP.
That was all him.
That was when he was winning back to back MVPs.
Yeah, I got you. Let's shift to the East real quick, and just kind of
at least one. I don't know. Was it back-to-back? I'm not sure. Sorry, I had to put that asterisk in there. Can't remember. Yeah. He won one.
No. I get it. Let's talk about the East real quick. We've got the
Cleveland
Cavaliers, who, look, they didn't get much of a challenge from the Miami Heat either, for that matter. And Cleveland is awfully, awfully good. And they've got a little bit more experience than Oklahoma City does. Who are they playing? The Knicks in the second round? Is that?
Pacers. That starts today. Pacers.
Right.
Yep.
The Pacers took out your Bucks. And
yep.
I know you were not thrilled about several things in that series. What went wrong for Milwaukee in that? Is Indiana just that much better than them, or?
I can tell you what went wrong. The Bucks, they traded Drew Holiday some time ago, and that's when the franchise started going downhill. The pipe dream of Damian Lillard coming in here and being able to fill in the perimeter defense around him
ruptured like his Achilles tendon. Yeah.
And the problem is, you know, Bobby Portis's defense went missing, and he also had a bad drug taking, got suspended 25 games. Bless Brook Lopez's soul. The guy came to Milwaukee and has been one of the best big men in the entire league defensively and with the ability to shoot the three, stretch the floor. But he's not young. He wasn't young when he got here. So he's not young. You might need one more knot to make it a triple negative, stays negative. they need to get rid of everybody that has been in the league longer than a few years on their team and keep Giannis and just put as many young guys in the lineup until you figure it out over the next year. Or you need to trade Giannis and let him go somewhere. And, you know, the Spurs have 36 draft picks over the next 7 years. We don't have draft picks. We have nothing. We're in team salary jail. We really can't make trades because of the way our draft picks, we've gotten rid of too many. So that's the Bucks. It's not really worth talking about. They have gone back and forth with the Indiana Pacers over the last few years. It's been one of the better rivalries in the NBA. The Pacers have a very talented team.
Can they beat Cleveland?
No, Cleveland's the best team in the NBA, and I've been saying this all year. Christopher Platt, who is, you know, a Clevelander, now removed from Atlanta and Phoenix, but a Clevelander till he dies, born and raised there, I believe. I told him early in the year, and I told him a couple years ago when Jared Allen and Evan Mobley came along with this team, and then they got Spider Mitchell. Like, this is a really good fucking team, dude. And you've put these pieces in there. You've traded for DeAndre Hunter, right? Now, so I picked the Cavs to win the whole thing. I think they're the best. They stay healthy. They are the best team. They're so hard to beat in Cleveland.
Yeah.
It's just like a gentleman's sweep at the most. This is no more than 5 games in this series. So Cleveland's going to be ready to go when they take on Boston. Oh, I spoiled it. I think the Knicks suck.
Do you? Okay. So let's talk last series before we move on. Boston handled Orlando dropped a game, but not too much trouble. The Knicks and Pistons was a very competitive series. Detroit could have won. Detroit could have won that series, but that's where the youth hurt them a little bit. And I think they didn't know how to close.
If Denver or Boston win the title and it's not Cleveland, then Detroit had the best season of any NBA team. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, if Cleveland wins, like without LeBron, the Cleveland wins a championship, that's awesome. But like where Detroit came from, the turnaround, the leap that Cade Cunningham made, there is nothing in the NBA like Detroit basketball. That is that state is a fucking basketball state. I'm so happy Detroit's back. But yeah, they didn't have the firepower, but watch out. Oh, watch out for Detroit.
Like you're saying, when the Pistons are good, it's just better for the NBA because they are one of the more storied franchises in NBA history. So you get them. And that was what was great about the Knicks-Pistons series is you've got these two very storied franchises who haven't done shit, especially the Knicks. The Knicks, not since the 70s. You know, they're like the Bullets/Wizards sort of thing, maybe even worse. But like you're saying, Detroit's on the come up. Houston, we saw what they did. They made a huge leap this year as well. You know, Oklahoma City, you see where they've evolved to. You know, is there a team that didn't make the playoffs that you're looking at next year saying, watch out for these guys, they're going to be good?
It'd probably be teams that were more so in the play-in. Like, Memphis, I guess they were in. I don't know. There isn't really like Spurs. You could go with the Spurs, right? Like Wemby, De'Aaron Fox came in late. On the Eastern side, I don't know. I look for the Hawks to get better, but they're always kind of where they are. Is that like who Trae Young is? So no, we'll see who we'll see. Like we'll see who some of these Jonai Williams or Cooper Flagg or some of these really good college players go. Right. Turn the tide.
Wizards are going to turn it all around next year. But that's probably not going to happen. So
here, I'll tell you why I don't like the Knicks. Jalen Brunson is a fucking dog. Right. But Tom Thibodeau is not a great playoff coach. I love Josh Hart. But OG Anunoby and Precious Ochoa are not big men. They're not really good power forwards either. And Karl Anthony Towns consistently gets beat defensively because he can't guard the pick and roll as a five. He's more of a four defensively because everybody has their five out on top. And anytime you switch, he's not fast enough to switch and he's not fast enough to get over the top. So they just abuse him all the time.
Yeah. And I tend to agree with you. I think the Knicks don't have what it takes to beat the defending champions, but Knicks Celtics is great for the NBA. I mean, it's fantastic.
Yes, huge. Like you said, Knicks Pistons, Knicks Celtics, you know, all these things were great for the NBA.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for the Four Corners podcast because Tony and I have to go and talk about some nerdy stuff now on Bandwagon Nerds. But yeah, exactly. Adjust your glasses, you know, get your pocket protectors out, kids. We're about to talk. Tune in. Well, you'll already heard it by now, so it doesn't matter.
I'm gonna have to take my retainer out for the extra, Dave.
Tony, let people know where they can check you out on social media.
Follow me at PC Tunney. That's T-U-N-N-E-Y. If you don't know how to spell Tunney, at PC Tunney and Chairshot Radio Network. You can find that all your favorite streaming platforms like iHeart, Apple, Spotify. Just search Chairshot Radio Network or go to thechairshot.com. Plenty of awesome professional wrestling coverage, and you can find all the podcasts there as well. ProWrestlingTees.com/thechairshot. Dave makes a great gift.
It does make a great gift. And so go out and buy a shirt, support your favorite Chair Shot artist. As for me, you can follow me on X and Blue Sky at Attitude Ag. That is at Attitude. No, at Attitude Ag, that is at Attitude AGG. You can go to the website, attitudeofaggression.com. The brand, as Tony likes to call it, is expanding with some interesting topics of conversation as of late. So please go, please go there, check it out. You can follow me, facebook.com/attitudeofaggression and at attitudeofaggression, all one word, Instagram and Threads. Yes, sir.
Did we? Did either of us say follow this show at Bandwagon Nerds?
That's we haven't got to Bandwagon Nerds yet, so but you can say it anyway.
Oh yeah, this isn't Bandwagon Nerds. It's Sunday. I feel like I just like went into the show's done on Sunday.
That's right. Oh
well,
that's
you
coming
can
up. That's
you
coming
can follow
up.
That show.
Yeah, follow there's at no, Bandwagon yeah. Nerds. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Oh Jesus. Okay. Well, I'm gonna continue to drink.
I think that's a great idea. We're gonna cut out of here because we do have nerdy stuff to talk about. But until next time, guys, that's gonna do it for the Four Corners podcast. I assume Patrick will be back next week, and hopefully celebrating his St. Louis Blues moving on in the playoffs. We'll see how it goes. But that's going to do it for today. Four Corners Podcast. Tony and I will talk to you later.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.